Hello and welcome to an Inside College Hockey podcast. It's Frozen 4 week, officially, as we record this on April 2nd, 2007. Just days away from the semifinals in St. Louis. And we're welcoming in a distinguished veteran panel of Inch podcasters and contributors. Co-editors Nate Ewell and Mike Eidelbiss are here, along with senior writer Jess Myers, and I am senior writer Joe Vladishevsky. Well, guys, I think before we get to the games in St. Louis, we've got to talk about what's been going on the last week to 2 weeks as far as early defections from the college hockey ranks and players signing professional contracts. The latest All-League and All-America type candidates are Trevor Smith, John Quick, Sean Weller, and Andrew Gordon from St. Cloud State, joining a long list of other players. We want to see our guys move on to the pro ranks, but, geez, we'd like to see them a few more years in our college ranks, too, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. And, this is just my own theory, is that the realities of the new NHL, which is now in year two, is that it just makes more sense for the teams, these NHL teams financially, to bring these guys in. That those contracts are set at a max value, and the signing bonuses are set at a max value. And it's, in the long run, a lot cheaper for these teams to bring these guys in at this level, as opposed to maybe paying a veteran who is a little bit better, or has a little bit more experience, more money for roughly the same player. So I think it's just, not necessarily a talent issue so much as it is an economics issue. Granted, these guys are good, but the bottom line for the NHL teams is that they're trying to cut costs wherever they can, and this appears to be the easiest way.
What surprises me about this, though, Mike, is how many of these guys you're looking at who are going to spend at least a full year in the AHL. So those contracts then are even more affordable from the NHL standpoint, but they aren't helping you in terms of the NHL salary cap.
That's true. And I think that, we've talked about this in past podcasts, I'm a huge fan of the American Hockey League. I think it's a great place to develop. But I think in some certain situations, especially for forwards, unless you're going to pro to be a third-line checking player, it might not help you to play in the American League. I look at a guy like Sean Weller from Clarkson, who Ottawa's probably going to want him to be a dominant power forward, someone who can get up and down the ice and score some points. Going to Binghamton, they're the last-place team in the American Hockey League, and they really have very few true pro prospects. It's kind of just like the next 20 guys in their organization's depth chart that are filling spots down there. So for him to go to Binghamton, which he will, and he'll have to go there, I don't know that in his situation that really helps. He would maybe be better served by being at Clarkson, playing fewer games, getting stronger, getting that swagger and that confidence, and dominating the college game, and then you're ready to go pro. We'll see how it works out, but I think that some players can develop better at the college level.
I'm interested to see that nearly 5 years after we launched Inch, I think it was fall of 2002, was it not?
It was
year five.
Yeah, I did a feature story at that time about, all of the star players that had defected to the NHL in the previous offseason, and, where will this new crop of stars come from? And I remember talking to Tom Kervis, who was with the Coyotes and still is at the time, and he said, in a 30-team National Hockey League, every team has needs. Everybody. And I guess somehow I thought that maybe, the fact that we had gone to 30 teams relatively recently at that point, maybe there would be kind of this stockpiling effect of college guys to build up the personnel ranks, and then the big numbers of defections would slow down, and it just hasn't slowed down at all. I mean, nearly 5 years later, we're still seeing the same thing, that everybody wants their prospects. learning their system in their own camp, you know, getting a paycheck, even if it's an AHL paycheck, as quick as possible, it seems like.
You know who the college hockey stars are now? They're the freshmen. They're the guys, the Eric Johnsons, the Phil Kessels, the Jonathan Taves. You know, in Taves' case, if he sticks around for a sophomore year, those are the guys that people know nationwide. You know, there used to be the Brian Giantas, I guess, and that was kind of the premise of that article, Jess, was that there were guys that college hockey fans got to know over the course of 4 years.
Yep.
I think the names now that you know across conferences are young guys.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think it probably has something to do, too, why there's been such an increased focus on recruiting, because these real high-end kids don't stay around Offutt so long time. But I think another reason, too, and, you know, kind of getting back to a little bit of the original argument, supplementing it a bit, why these guys are jumping is, you know, both from the player standpoint and from the NHL team standpoint, you know, they're seeing guys make this virtually seamless transition from the college game to the pros. You look at Paul Stastny, he basically goes from DU right to Colorado, and he's probably going to finish second in the Calder voting this year. Joe Pavelski had a relatively smooth transition. He had a little, you know, he played a few games in the AHL, but he's been with San Jose for most of the year. Another guy with Colorado.
Matt Carl, another one.
You know, Matt Carl, John Michael Lyles. I mean, we could keep, you know, Jim Slater, same thing with Atlanta. He's, you know, didn't play a lot of games in the AHL, and you know, has been a good third line guy for them. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's a two way street. The college kids see these guys make the transition, make that jump, and they think they can do it. And the NHL guys, you know, the organization see these guys do it, and they say, well, if this kid can do it, why can't our guys do it?
Going back to what Nate said about fame, and the names that we know, I think that comes from the NHL draft also. We know who the top players are because we see them walk across that stage in a lot of cases before they've even played college hockey.
It does, but remember, Kessel wasn't drafted. And certainly everybody knew his name, probably because he was projected as a high draft pick.
I understand. But Oposo was drafted before he went to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Eric Johnson, Brian Lee, North Dakota, same, right? Mark Matera, Michigan. I know that a lot of the guys have played one full year of college before the draft, such as Jonathan Taves, but I think some of those guys also, we know, before they've even hit the college ice. And that's good. It's good.
Well,
I was going to say, as far as pro signings go, you know, here in WCHA land, and specifically here in the Twin Cities, the biggest news of the last week is the fact that there has been no news. I mean, there's this kind of round-the-clock Eric Johnson, Kyle Oposo watch going on. You know, there have been a couple stories written, you know, will they, won't they, will these guys be back in Minnesota next year? But just the fact that there's been no news, that, you know, the Blues weren't in a hurry to get Johnson into a uniform and so forth. I guess maybe bodes well if you're a Gopher fan. Obviously, there's still plenty of time to sign, and you see guys do it in September and in some cases. But they're still sticking around, at least for the time being.
Caught a little bit of the St. Louis Blues versus Dallas Stars game earlier on Monday night. You know who the St. Louis Blues leading goal scorer is?
Stempniak, right?
Lee Stempniak, Dartmouth College. Another four-year college player who has made a fine transition to the pro game.
An inch favorite, if I might give you some credit, Gladdy.
He's good at hockey. Good at hockey.
And where's Hugh Jessamine, his former teammate?
Not an inch favorite.
He's someplace else.
Glad he compared David Jones to Lee Stempniak.
Jones has more physical ability, honestly. His tool set is better. His hockey IQ is less. I think that Stempniak was more of a take charge player. Jones is a quiet person. His personality and his demeanor is quiet. Bob Gaudette says that he's low maintenance. You know, you don't have to keep checking under the hood. You know he's going to run, but I don't know that I see I don't know, but I see the willpower that Stempniak had in Jones. But they are comparable players. I think Stempniak was better in his own end, but Jones physically is more gifted. There's your comparison.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Very good scouting.
Don't see much big green, so.
It's always a treat to see the big green play.
I like that rink, too.
It's a nice rink.
I'm not saying it's not. I agree.
It's a nice rink. You know, I think that they've got guys whose careers translate to the pro game. Grant Lewis is going to play in the show. Nick Johnson's going to play in the show. David Jones is going to play in the show. Tanner Glass has a chance to play in the show. You know, these guys are good players, fun to watch.
Who of the recent signees will play in the show next year? Jack Johnson,
next year,
obviously.
Jack Johnson.
He's already there.
By the way, Jack Johnson, watch out. There's Jan Bulis.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. As he said, he used to be able to get around those guys in college. In case you didn't see it, his first game, when was that, last Thursday?
Yeah, that sounds right.
The Kings
against
were playing
the
Canucks, and Jan Bulis, who is... I guess you'd call him an average NHLer.
Yeah, I would say that.
Sent him.
Might be the average. Yeah.
Yeah, he might be the average NHLer. Sent him flying with a nifty little hip check, actually. But
so the reason I ask that, like, I look at some of these guys, and I certainly don't fault the Trevor Smith for signing an NHL deal, but I don't see him as, and this maybe goes back to your point, Gladdy. I don't see him as a guy who's going to be able to skip the AHL.
No.
No.
And let me restate what I was saying. I guess it was a rambling sort of statement, which
really?
I'm good at.
That never happens on this podcast.
What's the limit, by the way? Are we allowed two restatements, or is it up to three now?
You keep up the wise mouth, you'll be a loud man. You're going to bed without any supper, young man.
Wow. Corporal punishment here on the podcast.
Each player's situation is unique. That's all I was trying to say. And I said it much more efficiently.
I guess. But getting back to your question, I mean, which player is ready to make... I think the guys that are ready to make the jump are the guys that haven't signed yet. And
that's probably true.
I think the number one guy on the list is probably Taves. I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously he's ready. There's no question about it. He's been just ridiculously good the second half of the year after he kind of... You know, he got
put him on a line with Marty Havlat. Good times.
Yeah, I think
so. Is Oshie ready? I tend to think Oshie's ready.
Jeff,
I think we'll find out Thursday.
I think absolutely Oshie's ready. I mean, if I base that on guys that made the jump last year and the success they've had. I mean, you know, I would put him in the same class as Stastny or Pavelski. I would put him in the same class as Robbie Earl, although Robbie Earl had a rough year by any measurement, you know, playing a lot with the Toronto Marlies and just not seeing the jump to the NHL like some of those other guys did.
Injured also. Robbie Earl, injured. What about Matt Niskanen?
That one surprised me.
I mean,
obviously had a very good year, but it surprised me to see him go.
Can he make the jump, though?
Well, look at the guys on Vancouver's blue line. He's Vancouver, right?
No, he's Dallas.
No, Raymond.
Oh, who's the Vancouver guy? Mason Raymond?
Okay. Mason Raymond.
He's got a chance.
He's got a chance, I would say. I mean, he's obviously got the physical tools.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's got a pretty good chance, too, because, I mean, Dallas isn't getting any younger on the blue line. I mean, they got some... they got some old guys back there, you know, Zuboff and... I think Philippe Boucher is there, and the one thing that's I think the one thing that surprises me about Niskanen is, you know, unlike some of the other guys, he never played, or he didn't play, you know, a full season of juniors. He didn't play the USHL or anything like that. He came straight from high school in Minnesota, which is, you know, obviously a there's a lot of difference between playing in high school and playing in the USHL. And although, you know, he's a very talented player, you know, you talk about guys making the jump and going from playing 40 games or 36 or 40 games to 80 games. Well, he's come from high school where he played 25 games to college where he played 30. I mean, he's probably never played more than 40 games in a year. Or hasn't since Bantams, at least.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
And a little bit different level of competition. But we'll see. We will see.
Yeah, I don't remember anybody comparing favorably the Iron Range Conference to the Pacific Division, but give them time, I guess.
The road trips are better in the Iron Range Conference.
Oh, yeah. I got that Hardee's outside of Virginia.
You get to go to International Falls.
There's a city called Virginia, Minnesota.
Virginia, Minnesota?
I was born in Virginia, Minnesota. What are you talking about?
You were?
Yeah.
I was born in State College, PA.
Do you know...
Home of U.S. Olympian John Harrington, Virginia native.
Mike Sertich is from Virginia.
Mike Sertich, yeah.
Mr. Zero, Frank Brimsek, is buried in Virginia, Minnesota.
Wow.
Anything else you'd like to know?
Inside College Hockey editor Mike Eidelbus, born in Virginia, Minnesota. Don't be bashful when adding your name.
That's on the sign as you enter town.
Don't be bashful in adding your name to that distinguished list of hockey greats.
It's on the sign when you leave town. It says, get the hell out, just like Eidelbus.
It's on the sign when you enter town, but it's on the back side of it.
Exactly. It's got a bunch of grass growing up around it.
It'll be on the sign in St. Louis by the end of the week.
On the back side.
It'll be on the arch.
Yeah. We just spray paint it on the arch.
It doesn't count if you spray paint it, Buzz.
No.
Stay classy, St. Louis.
Mr. Eidelbus. I'm with the National Park Service. I'm going to need a word with you.
All the words I have are spray painted on that thing.
Now you blew my cover.
What's that thing? Okay, St. Louis. Good segue, Nate.
I know you can use a hand on those, Gladdy.
Thanks, man. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Anything going on there this weekend, guys? Anybody?
Are we there? Really? Are we there already? Are we?
Oh yeah.
We
like,
were
we
there.
Home.
Oh, okay.
We were there. We had to actually come back. We all had family emergencies.
we had to meet with our family advisor.
What are the odds of six separate emergencies?
It was amazing the coincidences.
we had to meet with our family advisors and. Ironically, they all said they all advised us not to start families.
to which Buss and I replied, "Too late." And Nate said, "Yeah, me too."
Said,
"I trust the advice of my family advisor."
The gene pool is better off without you. What about St.
Okay,
Louis? Sorry, that's
Michigan
not...
State versus Maine. Played last year in Albany, regional final.
You were there.
Couple of rematches.
Two rematches. That is correct. Looking forward to the early game from an X's and O's standpoint, whereas I think the late game will be more about execution. It's not going to be as much game planning, you know, or strategy. It's just our good guys are going to be better than your good guys. And
right.
that team's going to win. Agree,
disagree? I think if we're lucky, that's what we'll get.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that's what you hope for from an entertainment standpoint.
I would agree.
I guess
I think you're going to see some magic. Go ahead.
No, I disagree only in the sense that I think, you know, knowing North Dakota a little bit, and granted, I haven't seen the Sioux that much, but I've seen him play, you know, 5-6 times in person. I think because everybody knows what's coming with North Dakota with that top line and you know, a kind of a burlier second line, I think they may try and throw a bit of a different look at BC. And I think if I were Hackstall, that might be a more physical look than maybe BC is expecting. Just knowing because, you know, you're pretty evenly matched when you go horses against horses. So I think North Dakota may know that to win that game, they're going to have to try something different and throw something, you know, pull something out of the toolkit early in the game.
Well, North Dakota's got the size advantage. You know, if you're talking strictly forwards.
Yeah.
You know, they're a lot bigger up front than Boston College is. So, you know, but then again, those guys are so talented, you know, both ways. It's not like they've got it. You know, it's not like North Dakota has to grind it out.
BC usually uses its small size in terms of quickness to its advantage. I wonder if they'll be able to do that against, especially a D that's as good as North Dakota's. Whereas
I'm
on the
curious.
Other end, at the other end, you know that North Dakota's going to be able to use their size.
I'm curious about Brian Boyle. This might be the first time that he's really tested back on defense. I mean, St. Lawrence has some good players, but none of the forwards that are of North Dakota's caliber. Same with Miami. I mean, and even then, he took some penalties because of guys like Jones and Davis.
But do you think it's a case where is it a case where they try to keep him off the ice when that line's out there, but he's paired with Brennan, who's probably their best defensive defenseman?
Yeah, I would think they'd want him out there.
Yeah.
So. And if they have the puck, then North Dakota doesn't.
Right.
From a pure talent standpoint.
Best against best.
Yeah.
Now, Motherwell's paired with O'Hanley, is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
I don't have...
What are capsules?
Is it O'Hanley or is it Phil and Jerry? Are you looking this up?
I'm going to.
All right.
Reading things off the internet during your podcast. Excellent, excellent times.
What site are you going to?
InsideCollegeHockey.com.
Oh, that place is good.
I've heard good things about those guys.
Yeah. Not about the guys, but the sites are.
Oh, yeah, the guys are turds. Forgot about that.
Motherwell, Phil and Jerry, Boyle, Brennan, O'Hanley, Sneap. Those were the pairings in the regional final against Miami.
O'Hanley,
so we'll see.
Sneap is the third pairing.
Sneap's an interesting one. I think they really lost a lot when he was hurt, and obviously that was part of the reason that they put Boyle back. But I've really liked what I've seen from him and his size. Adds a good element against North Dakota.
We got to think Schneider has the edge over Lamoureux, right?
Absolutely.
Anybody debate that?
Best goalie left, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no question. No question. You know,
though?
Honestly, probably he was probably the best goalie coming into the tournament, the way he had played, you know, the last 10 games.
Not on the course of the season.
No,
ahead of the three OB finals?
Well, not if you're looking from day one of the season, but I think if you look over the past maybe
February
1. Yeah, February 1 or the 8 to 10 games coming leading up to the NCAA tournament, I think that he's probably been playing the best. You know, there's a lot of similarities, just kind of going back and looking at the statistics between this year and last year with BC. You know, Schneider came in last year on a bit of a roll, and he's on a roll again this year. Ferriero came in last year on a roll, and, you know, he's going again. I think he's got 10 goals in his last 10 games. So, to me, just going back and kind of looking at, you know, this time last year versus now, it was interesting to kind of note how many similarities there were with how these guys were playing, you know, leading into the leading into the final or the Frozen Four.
How about the aspect of no home ice advantage this year? We've seen it in the somewhat recent past, certainly with Wisconsin last year, Minnesota in 02, possibly Maine and Boston College in 04.
Didn't seem to do much for BC that year.
Well, yeah, but there have been cases where there has been a clear-cut home team.
Yep.
And I think this will be similar to what we saw in Columbus, where there is no home team. North Dakota and Maine will travel best, I think, out of those four teams.
Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan State, I think, might travel pretty well.
They didn't sell out Munn.
Yeah, but now they're in the Frozen Four.
But now they're in the Frozen Four. Exactly. Basketball's over.
I love East Lansing, but the bandwagons there grow pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, this might be the best. And I'm wondering about what the atmosphere will be like, since this is, I guess, what you would call it, you know, obviously a non-traditional college hockey market.
Yes.
If it's going to be closer, if it's going to be like Columbus, or if it's going to maybe be closer to Anaheim, you know, where there was, you know, I think it might be, I don't think it's going to be as weird, as strange. Anaheim was just a strange, it's just a strange setup. It was like playing a hockey tournament.
Well, the building will be full.
No, oh yeah, no question, no question.
Anybody been to the building?
No.
I've been in the lobby.
Drove by the outside one time.
We had a great gift shop.
We all should have gone when we were there last week.
We didn't even think of that.
We were checking out the bars the whole time.
I was at the riverboat.
I was in a cab on my way there last week when I got the call that I had to come home. I said, turn around, take me to the airport.
That's where the inch jet whisked you away.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Okay. Maine versus Michigan State, early thoughts. Okay, I'll offer mine.
No, I think that kind of explains it. It's a really tough, for me at least, it's a tough matchup to really kind of get a handle on, from my perspective, at least.
Here's the thing for me, Bus. You've got two teams that were number three seeds in the tournament, in their regionals. And they were number three seeds for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm having a tough time getting a handle.
They had inconsistencies, and I think that a first impression that people could have is, well, the magic's got to run out sometime for one of these teams. But what they did 2 weekends ago at the regional tournaments was they went up against some of the better teams, you know, in the nation. And they did the job. You know, they won the games. They didn't back in.
Right.
And I think that was especially true for Maine. They came out and won the games. And Michigan State, to some extent, certainly did the same. Definitely after a slow start against Boston U and against Notre Dame with a couple of power play goals and traffic goals.
Maine was down early to St. Cloud State, too. I mean, so both teams kind of showed gut checks and came from behind.
Well, I think the one...
Incorrect. Incorrect. Ming got up at St. Cloud.
No.
I thought St. Cloud scored first.
But it was 2-1, like, 2 minutes later.
Oh.
Yeah, but St. Cloud did score
so
first.
So they were losing.
All right, whatever.
Wow.
Testy. Anyway, you know...
Well, it's not like they trailed after one. They trailed for 3 minutes.
All right.
But they trailed. There was adversity. Can we agree that both teams faced adversity?
Can I get a restatement here? Or no.
They faced...
I'm trying to build some bridges here.
A million points of light?
I think it was 1,000, wasn't it?
Anyways. We're overachievers.
Oh, yeah.
Inflation.
Playoffs.
Exactly. I think that's one reason why it has been so hard to get a grasp on this game is because look at the history of these two teams through the course of this season. Both have had long stretches where they played extremely well, and then both came into the postseason, you know, in pretty bad shape. But, you know, from a wins and loss, I mean, Michigan State had some really bad losses down the stretch, and you know, I think we all kind of have a pretty good idea of what happened to Maine over the last 6 to 8 games of the regular season.
Goalie.
Yeah, and how much of that was goalie related? It appears to be a lot of it, judging from the way Bishop played in the regional. But you know, I tend to lean towards Maine. I think just because of their experience. And they've got a lot of solid veterans, I think, that are going to be the kind of guys that will make the difference in a game like this. You know, we're looking at Levier and Soares and guys like that.
Mike Hamilton.
There you go.
Playoff.
Lundin.
Watch your toe.
So I think guys like that...
Is there, Mike, any kind of, you know, you live in Michigan and you're around the CCHA a fair amount. Is there any kind of, I don't know if I want to say conference pride, but is there talk that, you know, the last time a CCHA team won a game at the Frozen Four was 1998 when Michigan won the title. I mean, is there any kind of talk about pressure that way, about kind of breaking the string or, you know, winning one for the conference, anything like that?
I don't think so. I think that maybe in in places other than East Lansing, there may be that kind of talk or that kind of, pressure to kind of reestablish the CCHA a little bit on a national scale, but I think Michigan State, you know, at least in East Lansing and in this area, they're more concerned about just, you know, it's been an interesting ride with in Rick Conley's tenure. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and I think that, you know, beyond just, you know, winning the game and getting and advancing, you know, kind of all the immediate things, I think there's a certain sense of trying to reestablish Michigan State as an elite team, which, you know, which obviously they were under Ron Mason, and they've kind of had a little bit of a backslide during the Conley years. So, you know, I think that maybe is the underlying theme as it relates to Michigan State more so than any conference type of objective at this, just around this team.
What are your impressions? We'll talk about this certainly more this weekend. Is Michigan State back, or do you think this is a one-off deal?
I think they're back. I think they're back because you look at their roster and there's not a lot of seniors.
I think it goes back to what, sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but it goes back to our first point. What if that sophomore line leaves? Then they're not back.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point.
And those guys could all go.
Well, you know what? Here's why I say they're back, and I guess it just took me to realize this. they're in the regional final last year. It's not like they were out of the NCAA tournament. They lost by goal to Maine. So they were really somewhat in the mix for back-to-back Frozen Fours. And they could be again.
The Minnesota Duluth alum participating in the podcast urges caution when saying any particular program is back.
I'm not even going to say anything. Which is remarkable.
Yeah, it is. Come on.
But I'm not going to say anything.
I know you got something in the hopper.
I got it. But
come on.
Yeah, you know what? I think this is a fine time to send out a note of a merit, a compliment to former WCHA player Curtis Glencross of the Alaska Anchorage Seawolves, formerly of the Alaska Anchorage Seawolves. Saw him play in the American Hockey League last week. He was very impressive. I wish I had seen him play in college. I did not, unfortunately. But I loved him. Has become one of my favorite minor pro hockey players.
Behind Noah Welch?
Definitely. Behind Noah Welch.
All right.
Is he playing Brian Maloney in that game?
Brian Maloney is injured for the Binghamton Senators. Did not play.
No wonder they're in last place.
Yeah, no kidding.
He didn't blow out a kidney, did he?
No. He did not stab himself with his hockey stick.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Binghamton Senators, did anybody see Brian Elliott's numbers in his first couple games?
No. I saw him in a lovely suit and tie.
He was
Syracuse on Onondaga County War Memorial.
He was having a tough adjustment to playing for a paycheck, let's just say.
Well, no, you know what, though? He wasn't. Because the goalie for Binghamton that night that I saw the game was it Jeff Glass? Won the World Junior 2 years ago for Canada. So, highly touted prospect. He got lit up for a snowman.
Ooh.
By the Crunch, who are not even close to the playoffs. So that Binghamton team is honestly horrible. The four of us could step into that lineup and play tomorrow night.
I want to be busting that out, Claddy.
Yeah. I want to know who your family advisor is.
getting some bad information, I think.
Well,
I wouldn't mind. I'd get a shift for Bingo. What the heck?
I would
if they were still the Whalers.
Yes. I'm packing my Binghamton Whalers tea for the Frozen Four, by the way.
Did we?
You guys want to hint at any sweaters that you're bringing?
Did you? I was going to say, is there anything we want to preview?
Are we going to enter podcast deterioration now?
Well, I think we kind of deteriorated when we started. But kind of.
When you started giving AHL shout-outs.
That's hockey-related.
Deterioration can be hockey-related.
That is true.
That's true.
We don't talk about much else.
Yeah.
Let's.
Are you going to preview? Are you going to talk about any social events?
No.
Your anti-social event?
No socializing. Just work.
Oh yeah. No, I'm not saying pull your cover, just say if you're in the neighborhood.
Give a plug to the place.
You plug it. You know more than me. I don't even know. Does Jesse even know what the name of this place is?
Yes, he does.
Oh, yes. Is he excited?
Is this the real place, or is this the place you're telling me to go to while you guys all go to see?
He's taking shots at himself now.
And it's on Sunday this year, they say.
It's Sunday morning at 10:30.
No, at some point when everybody from college hockey world is in St. Louis, they should swing by the Feisty Bulldog on the landing.
It's supposed to be a happening part of town. At least it was when we were there last weekend. And tell them that your friends at Inside College Hockey sent you. They've got drink specials lined up all week. And got a nightclub downstairs, if that's your thing. You can go to Throttle, which is downstairs. But Feisty Bulldog.
And as Jess Myers, the UMD alum, can tell you, that's an oxymoron.
Doug Terrell was the Feisty Bulldog, the only Feisty Bulldog I ever knew. I think he's out of hockey now.
Yeah, is Sean Backman making the trip, buddy?
No. Not making the trip.
So he
was a rookie Bulldog.
He was a rookie Bulldog. He's probably underaged. Couldn't get into the Feisty Bulldog.
Possible. 3 a.m. last call for all you hardcore partiers.
Wow.
We're just doing the research for you, not that we care.
No, this is a public service.
We'll be holed up in our room working, but you know, if you tend to imbibe
you
that kind
be.
Of thing, that's a lot.
You will be.
Well, I'm resting up for that party on Sunday morning.
And you won't say goodbye when you leave. You just kind of excuse yourself. Irish goodbye.
Sorry. Uh-oh. There were so many things glad he wanted to say, apparently.
No kidding.
Well, not hanging out is one thing, but at least be a man about it.
What is this?
Wow.
What are you talking
about? I've been waiting 51 and a half weeks to let this out.
And boy, you picked the perfect place,
yeah,
too.
You couldn't wait two more days.
Too bad we haven't talked in the last 51 and a half weeks, so we could have got it out in the open. So were you stunned by my departure from Milwaukee, or what are we concerned about here?
Well, your frequent departures.
Oh, frequent in that I go home every year when the Frozen Four is over.
No. Like, when we're hanging out,
like the
post-game, and then you just disappear.
Post-game press conference. Post-game debrief.
Yeah.
Post-game debrief, and I disappeared. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
You're like Pavel Datsyuk in the playoffs. He's kind of... Where are you?
At least when Gladdy disappears, he then reappears and says, I was not here because I was somewhere else.
either that or there's some sort of viscous liquid trail to follow.
That's true. You can tell where he's been by what's stuck to his shirt.
You've been to Burger King.
There's a chicken fry on your shirt.
There's like two pieces of bacon on your collar.
Name that necklace.
So, well, we should clue people in. Well, first of all, we got the Feisty Bulldog plug out of the way. It actually looks
cheers to the Feisty Bulldog.
It looks like a pretty cool place, actually.
Look for their banner ad on InsideCollegeHockey.com throughout the week.
Yep, we'll get that going.
And is
the landing is kind of a cool area too. It's kind of a historic district right on the Mississippi River. A lot of old like warehouse type buildings. It was a landing where they would unload riverboats years and years ago, and they've gentrified the area and put in the bars, restaurants, art galleries. It's just a couple blocks from the Edward Jones Rink, which is the home of the St. Louis Rams. So have fun. It's a good place. It's right on the train line, too, so easy to get to.
There you go, folks. So the first time this year we did our Frozen Four City Primer in audio style, since we haven't had time to write it down.
That is true. Tell me about the train system.
What are you, Zagat?
Are you familiar with that?
I read up in Fodor's today. No, they just...
is it like the T or Boston? Or?
We should do like the old Letterman skit. Yeah, the main industries of St. Louis are mining and textiles.
Beer and gambling.
No, it's
it's a mostly above ground, I think. Frankly, I've only ridden it from like to Busch Stadium and back a couple blocks, but you have to buy a ticket, but I think it's just, you don't go through like turnstiles. I think you just have to have a ticket on you, and if you're asked to show your ticket, you have to show your ticket. And it runs from the airport all the way to East St. Louis, so all through the downtown area. There's a stop at Union
Station.
So
get off at some point.
If you're going over the river, stay on, for God's sake.
There's a stop at Union Station, which is the old converted train station, which has shops and restaurants and a Hard Rock Cafe, and that's there's a hotel in there where I think a lot of the tournament officials are staying. There's a stop at the Scott Trade Center, which is the rink where we'll be seeing some hockey. Busch Stadium has its own stop, the new Busch Stadium. The Cardinals are in town Wednesday night, and then I think they're out of town after that. And then there's a
they're
stop at the
town
landing.
They're also in town Tuesday night.
Okay. So, and then there's
hey, can
stop at the
a,
landing and at the dome. And
if anybody happens to download this and listen on their flight on Tuesday to St. Louis, there's a hockey game Tuesday between your St. Louis Bandits of the North American Hockey League and US NTDP at Scottrade, hoping to break a junior hockey record or US junior hockey record for a crowd. So.
And isn't Brett Hall
could be some good pucks.
Either?
John Cooper behind the bench, your friend and mine.
What time is it?
John Cooper.
7:30 faceoff.
That's during American Idol.
I'll see if Coop can postpone it a little bit.
How are they going to break an attendance record going up against American Idol?
They're going to have you call in a number and pick which team wins.
William
Hung is 6'6", go Coop, go.
William Hung is singing the national anthem.
1-866, go NTDP, go.
I think Brett Hull is supposed to be there.
Brett Hull is going to be there.
I don't know what he's doing there, but he's going to be there.
I think he's going to be saying bad things about Mike Babcock.
He was never nicknamed the Feisty Bulldog, just so you know.
No.
Braddy, if you go, get him an invite, though.
Sure,
yeah.
Find the Bulldog.
For sure.
Yeah,
for
that's,
sure.
That's what we need.
The one other thing I'll say quickly about the train system, and this is not coming out of the Convention Visitors Bureau book, but keep in mind, folks, St. Louis did lead the nation in murders last year, and a good rule of thumb for anybody, if you're riding the train, go with a group of people. I've just heard that, you know, anywhere downtown St. Louis, it's best to not wander off alone. Major American city, just be smart, be safe.
It's like the woods.
Chamber of Commerce, thank you.
The silence there was Gladdy and Mike trying to figure out how they could ditch Jess and leave him alone on the train.
Sweet guys. Apparently I ditch myself. So
yeah, you're the self-ditcher.
You do.
By the way, if you download this to your iPod and listen to it, will it be like sort of a walking tour?
Well, we should. Man, that's something to think about for future years.
Look in the gutter to your left and see Gladdy. I'm sorry, that wasn't nice.
No,
just,
it's fine.
Here's the one from Detroit. Here's your hotel. Get in a cab. There's your rink. Get out of the cab. Speaking of college tournaments in various cities, I was reading, and this ties in with the Frozen Four because I believe he's a North Dakota grad. Mr. Chuck Klosterman, a fine, fine writer who writes for, I think he writes for Esquire, and he's been doing a blog from Atlanta for the last few days in conjunction with the Final Four for ESPN.com. And I believe today he reported that in Atlanta, if you barf in a cab, it's a $250 fine.
Wow.
Huh.
I did not know that.
You haven't been to Atlanta?
No.
Man.
Chuck Klosterman indeed is a North Dakota grad, and this is a true story. When he had just written his first book, which was called Fargo Rock City, which was kind of autobiographical about growing up in North Dakota and going to the University of North Dakota and how he got his love of music. Every chapter in the book started with a date and then something he did in his life on that date. Well, one chapter in the book, it was like November 17th, 1992, let's say. I don't remember the exact date, but the caption was, or his description of what he did that day was, I get drunk and go to a hockey game. And he wrote a whole chapter on being in college and going to a Sioux game at home, you know, when he was in college and being hammered and dancing and making a fool of himself. Well, this is what a nerd I am. I was kind of curious to see who the Sioux were playing that game. So I went and looked up the date and their media guide, and lo and behold, there was no game that day. So Chuck Klosterman was writing for the Akron Beacon Journal at the time. I sent him an email, and I said, hey, you know, keep it real. Did you really go to a hockey game, or did you just make this up? And we actually traded emails for a couple weeks. He said, okay, yeah, I made it up. I wasn't really at a hockey game.
Or he was really drunk.
Yeah.
It was an imaginary hockey game.
Or he just forgot the date.
Speaking of going to Atlanta.
Oh, no.
What?
I'd like to apologize in advance for this next. I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
I'd like to wish everyone out there a happy opening day. Major League Baseball season is underway with MVP candidate Edgar Renteria.
Oh, shut up.
Leading the Atlanta Braves to an opening day win. The game tying and game winning home runs.
Yeah, but can he skate?
They name MVPs in April.
Hey, it was your idea to start the Hobie Tracker.
It was my idea. I'm saying, is he going to be the MVP for April? Mr. April.
Dave Winfield, right? So.
Yeah, Dave Winfield was Mr. April. We know nobody on the Braves is Mr. October.
That is true.
Certainly not Lonnie Smith.
This is back-to-back podcast mentions for Lonnie Smith.
Well, hey, wow. His nickname was Skates.
That's right, it was.
I know.
That's all I had to say about
Jerry York is out there listening. I wish they talked about me that much.
Tom Glavine was apparently a pretty good hockey player in his day.
He was.
Bill Ricka high.
But the reason he didn't play hockey is because you need loyalty and integrity to play hockey.
Oh. I actually interviewed Glavine a couple years ago when the Mets played the Twins at the Metrodome, and asked him, you know, I said I did some work with USA Hockey and with College Hockey Website. I asked him if he played anymore. He said the Mets actually wrote that right into his contract, that he's not allowed to skate.
Who haven't you talked to?
Apparently, I haven't talked to Gladdy enough.
Then my plan is working.
We're gonna start a game this summer called 6 Degrees of Jess Myers.
Yeah, absolutely.
6 Degrees of Puck Myers. I'm sorry.
6 Degrees of Puck Myers or Myers Puck, depending on which site you're on.
Depending on which hemisphere you live in.
I've never heard the term an Irish goodbye before.
I haven't either. Which,
apparently, I'm the master of it.
I'm
not even Irish.
Gladdy and
it's a lot better than the Chinese home run.
Gladdy and Jeff Howe have been trading ethnic barbs secretly. The Chinese home run.
A lot of Irish fans of the Fighting Sioux are accusing us of being hostile and abusive.
Oh, God. Gladdy, you want to wrap this up? Oh, wait. If anybody needs tickets, email me. I got two for Thursday. I got none for Saturday. Sorry.
The podcast marketplace.
Yeah.
If anybody needs my autograph, email me. I'm waiting.
Hey, I know what I was going to bring up. As if this podcast couldn't get any worse. WrestleMania was Sunday.
Mr. Fuji?
Mr. Fuji got inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
He was already in the InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast Hall of Fame.
He was. In fact, I saw it. Somebody wrote about it someplace. I don't remember if it was on a website or in one of the newspapers. And they said this: the ceremony wouldn't have been complete unless he threw salt in somebody's eyes.
Oh, yeah. Bill Simmons wrote that. That was pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's who it was. It was Bill Simmons.
Master Fuji.
So, much love to
me. I saw in James's notebook that Tom Anastas was there, right?
Yes.
At WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where was it held? In Detroit? Or?
Yeah, it was
Ford
at Ford Field.
Scouting out locations.
I do remember seeing that now.
He was scouting out seat locations for the Frozen Four.
I thought he was going to wrestle Gorilla Monsoon.
Scouting out legit. I'm not going to say it.
Oh, come on. You got to say it now.
Scouting out logistics in case Alabama Huntsville makes it. We kid because we care.
Unbelievable.
Bus mentioned tickets for this Frozen Four. Let me make this announcement way in advance. I'll have tickets available for the one at Ford Field. Just call me. Everybody will.
Yeah, that's that'll be fine.
Yeah. But tell us about Denver's rink. You said it'd be a great Frozen site.
Yeah, you know, I was good to see we're getting back on track here, by the way. Wow.
Do you want to save this for Wednesday?
No, not at all. This is actually good. I was, you know, I don't know how.
This is actually good as opposed to Wednesday.
As
I'm going to kick off with deterioration on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to be a big steaming pile. But, no, I was really surprised with, you know, and obviously Denver had, you know, a little bit of an advantage with the regional. Because they had two teams that travel well in, you know, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Air Force was there. And Air Force brought a lot of people. And, you know, before I go on much further, I should give them credit for really, you know, representing that school and their conference extremely well. And, you know, they were loud and into the game right away, but. This is going to be a really, I think it's going to be a great setup for a Frozen Four. Not just, you know, there's a lot of things to like from a media perspective as somebody who covers the games, but I think from a fan's perspective too, it's not. I think it's a lot. It's not as nice, and it's not as all. It doesn't have the bells and whistles of like an XL Energy Center. But it doesn't seem as cavernous as maybe like the Fleet Center does. It's, you know, it's got these nice steep seats, and you know, so it feels a little bit more like you're hanging over the ice. But just the, you know, in general, in the neighborhood, the area known as Lower Downtown or Lodo in Denver, which kind of used to be, at least when it started, was mainly confined to, you know, over by Coors Field, which is. Oh, it's not far from the Pepsi rink. It's probably a half mile. But now that now that entire area between the Pepsi Center and the Coors Field is it's basically a nonstop area of just a continuous area of bars and restaurants. There's a few, there's a couple hotels mixed in there, but I think it's going to be a nice venue for fans who want to go to the games and stay right around the rink area. There are actually a couple restaurants. Well, there's one restaurant right in the Pepsi Center, and there's a couple of bigger restaurants, bar restaurant type places, right across the parking lot. So I think from a fan perspective, and as far as having a good atmosphere and a lot of people right around the rink doing things, not just on the game days, but all through the week, I think it's gonna bring a lot of excitement and make for a really unique experience from a Frozen Four perspective. Outside of St. Paul, I really can't think of any place where a lot of the activity is confined to the area around the rink, like it will be in Denver. But it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. But that's
good.
No, it's going to be great. I guarantee.
Good.
As long as this
guarantee.
As long as the spring weather is. Spring weather in Colorado can be a little tricky. But as long as the weather holds, I think it's going to be a good show.
Was it Denver's second championship, the Columbus year that they flew back into a foot of snow?
They flew back before the snow fell, I think.
They had to leave earlier than they were.
Yeah, they were racing to get out of there.
Oh yeah.
Because they knew snow was coming or a big storm was coming.
And it came. I remember that.
It did.
As opposed to North Dakota in 97, which got home to find the whole town and flooded, being flooded. Yeah. Snow you can shovel. Floods are a little.
You can't shovel a flood. No.
No, you can't.
Was that really that
it
long?
You can't shovel a flood.
It was 10 years ago. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I've said the same. People ask me, how do you live in Oswego? Well, yeah, we get 200 inches of snow, but you can shovel snow. You can't shovel hurricanes and tornadoes.
You can't shovel an earthquake.
Yeah. I'm down with the snow, believe me.
Do you still have snow?
No, it's gone.
It'll be back.
It will be back Thursday, and I'll be in St. Louis.
We should have had a weather. Jess, do you know what the weather's going to be like?
Looks like 50s and sunny most of the days that we're in St. Louis.
I knew.
Unlike last week, when it was 80 when we were in St. Louis. That was too bad. We had to leave.
It was balmy, yeah.
Yeah.
I had to put zinc oxide on my nose.
Wow.
It was that warm.
Anything else we need to know?
Yes, Gladdy. Masters preview.
Per capita income of St. Louis.
Masters preview. It's not hard to win.
What's the secret?
Make birdies.
Make birdies.
Anybody get any good April Fool's jokes or play any good April Fool's jokes?
No.
Don't say you're too mature for that, because I know you're not.
I mentioned this one to you, Gladdy, but on the UMB fan website, somebody posted that Scott Sandelin's contract had been bought out. Which may or may not be funny, depending on who you talk to.
Isn't putting false information on a fan website pretty much every day, not just April Fool's?
No, it was intended as an April Fool's joke.
Oh.
Oh. My sister called me and said, "Did you hear that Dad made a hole in one?" And I just started laughing. One, because she had no idea that it was April 1st. And two, because I've seen my dad's golf swing.
Yeah, it runs in the family, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, all right.
Hey, Gladdy, you're up in our fantasy draft.
Oh, jeez.
You want to pick?
I got to decide who I want to cut first.
It's all... Is all of this going on the podcast?
Yeah. I'll make my pick.
All right.
No, I can't make my pick on the podcast. Or why can't I? I better not.
Of course you can.
Because some other guys might get jealous.
It's good to know that if we couldn't make it, I'm glad he could have a podcast all by himself. Having these conversations. I can do that. No, I can't. Can I? No.
What do you mean I can't say that? I think you just...
Okay, the Mayfair Selects will be taking...
This is quality airtime right
yeah,
here.
No kidding.
I don't know if this guy's been... Is he available?
Al Gore is sitting someplace right now going, I invented the internet for this.
22 Green, Brian Lee?
Nope. Nick Suharski.
You're just taking him because he's Polish.
Yes, I am.
I believe he's yours.
Terrific.
Is he related to Don Koharski?
Welcome to Hazlitt, Michigan. Nick Suharski. Can we give a shout-out to the Mayfair?
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Absolutely.
Mayfair Bar, Hazlitt, Michigan. Greatest place in the world.
Well, fair. We give a shout-out to the Feisty Bulldog, and we barely know the place.
That's true. Equal time for the Mayfair Bar.
Well, that's sort of in advance of good times. Good times will be had by all at the Feisty Bulldog.
That's true.
That is a prediction for the weekend that I'm willing to stand by.
That's true. I have no idea who's going to win.
Justin Abdelkader has 87 PIMs. That's a ton for college hockey.
Boyle's got like 104.
Anybody who put this on their podcast to listen to on the plane, like the flight took off, it has landed, now they're standing at baggage claim. Wondering.
Hopefully somebody woke them up.
Actually about 30 minutes ago, they threw their iPod in the toilet and flushed it.
That is if they get through security, because this TSA guy threw the iPod and said, does that have the Inch podcast on it? Because if so,
I'm going to have to confiscate that.
I can't let that on.
We're a must-have podcast, boys.
We are.
Keep that in mind. We will have 2 podcasts minimum.
Setting the bar low.
From St. Louis.
How are you going to do it on Wednesday?
Does that count the one we already had from St. Louis?
No.
Does that count the 5?
So what's your rough schedule? Wednesday?
Unlikely to podcast Wednesday unless we just run them as audio interviews, which we could do. We may have those for you. Actual, honest-to-goodness guests who we may be able to coerce into podcast deterioration. That is the challenge ahead of us.
We're not going to do an hour worth of podcasts from St. Louis.
No, but if I can get Justin Abdelkader, say, to deteriorate a little bit, it might be good.
Talk about his PIMS.
PIMS, that's what we're doing. So, yeah, we'll try something Wednesday, but we'll see.
Thursday's tough.
Thursday postgame is tough.
Friday?
Expect a Friday afternoon podcast.
Mm-hmm. Saturday?
Wednesday, Friday, I think, are your best
I think
bets.
Friday, Saturday are our best bets.
What about Sunday?
There's a Sunday of Frozen 4 week?
Easter podcast?
No, Easter's this week. No. Easter's yeah, this week. Yeah. Never mind.
Easter's Sunday.
Did I mention Justin Abdelkader has 87 PIMs?
One of these guys, is it the Christian?
Nate celebrates the resurrection of chocolate Easter bunnies.
You know, regardless of whether it's Easter or not, I think we all kind of celebrate a resurrection on a Sunday after the Frozen Four, don't we?
We do.
We're lucky.
I think Jess just did an Irish goodbye.
Nah, he's here.
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm just following along.
Lurker.
I'm trying to figure out who's not Christian. It's like the Crusades. We will seek them out. We will find them. You will join the flock.
Okay, that'll do it for an Inside College Hockey podcast.
Thank God.
Before we start a holy war. We'll be better in St. Louis than we were today. If you've got to get a clunker out of your system, I suppose it's better to do it here than at the Frozen Four itself, right?
That's what Isaac Reichsmuth said.
Is Lee Sweat on the line?
Send it out to Mike from Durham. Mike, go ahead. Okay. With that,
why didn't we do this like 45 minutes ago? This is gold. I'm going to cut a bunch of stuff out from the middle.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot for podcasting. We're looking forward to the Frozen Four. Again, look forward to seeing you, and be sure to visit the Feisty Bulldog on the landing. And enjoy the Frozen Four. Thanks for reading InsideCollegeHockey.com.